1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. This is Your Turn, a live call-in show featuring spirited discussion and debate about issues that matter to the community. Your Turn is sponsored by People's First Community Bank, the best bank in the neighborhood. Stay with us to hear what Northwest Florida thinks. Better yet, call in at 623-1330 and tell us what you think. It's Your Turn here on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. Now, here's the host of Your Turn.
Good afternoon. My name's Renee Giacchino. I'm corporate counsel for the Center for Individual Freedom. To learn more about my organization, please visit our website at www.cfif.org. While you're there, please sign up for a free lunchtime liberty update that'll be delivered into your inbox every Friday, and it'll keep you up to date on the things that are happening inside and outside of Washington, D.C., as well as some of the interviews that are hosted right here on 1330 AM WEBY. Well, I can't believe the topic of our first discussion this afternoon. I can't believe we actually have to talk about a ban on bottled water. But yes, folks, that's something that is on the table right now. There are some cities that have already addressed this issue. There are states looking at it, and perhaps even our federal government soon will propose either a ban on bottled water or a tax on bottled water, or in some other way, shape, or form. They, in fact, want to tell us what we can and cannot drink, how we can and cannot drink it, and essentially further erode our freedom of choice, certainly in this instance. Joining us today on the program is Dr. Angela Lagomassini, and she is the Director of Risk and Environmental Policy at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and she is working very closely on this issue, as well as the other work that she does. She conducts research and analysis on environmental regulatory issues. She's co-editor of CEI's book, The Environment Source, published all over the country, different journals and newspapers. She makes regular appearances on lots of other radio programs, so maybe you've heard her elsewhere, but we welcome her this afternoon to Your Turn. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good afternoon.
Tell us first a little bit. We've had other colleagues of yours on from the Competitive Enterprise Institute, but I think it's always good to lay the foundation for people maybe who have just tuned in and aren't familiar with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Tell us about the work that you do.
We are a free market public policy group, and our primary focus is on environmental issues and other regulatory issues that affect individual choice and freedom.
And
our goal is to advance and maximize freedom. And right now, freedom's under assault in a lot of areas, and one of the areas I'm focusing on is the nanny state regulations on bottled water, as you discussed.
Now, when we talk about the nanny state, another term that very often goes hand in hand with the nanny state is a term called junk science. Dr. Lagomassini, what is meant by junk science?
Well, there's a lot of groups out there that are trying to make the case for regulation, and they need to come up with a compelling reason. So they make up or exaggerate risks, and they try to steer people into more regulatory controls. And that is what's happening in part on the bottled water issue. They're telling us that the chemicals are leaching out of the plastics and they're making us sick. Some of the chemicals they said that are leaching out in the plastics aren't even in the plastic bottled water, but they're trying to make the case anyway. So there's that aspect of it. But I think really the issue here for environmentalists is they don't want development. They don't want people accessing underground water sources. And so they're coming, and that's not an argument that resonates with people. So they're coming up with a whole host of other claims, being the chemicals. Also, they say it's to waste, it's too big of a carbon footprint, but there's really no reason to single out bottled water.
Well, what's fascinating to me is when this whole debate started, and I almost looked at it as spam. I mean, I know a lot of folks probably got the same email. Don't drink bottled water if you've left it in your car, if it's been warm. Don't refill the bottle because there can be leaching. You don't want to refill a plastic bottle. And of course, the light bulb that went off in my head said, oh gosh, that's pretty smart of the bottled water companies. They're going to have twice, three times, four times as many sales, because I know I'm guilty of, you know, drinking a bottle of water and then taking it to the sink and filling it back up and using the same bottle throughout the day. And it really caused me to pause for a second and look at, okay, maybe I shouldn't be doing that and increase risk of breast cancer. But actually what it sounds like is it is not the bottled water companies that may have been behind this, but instead it's the, you know, Chicken Littles, the sky is falling environmental groups.
Exactly. And one of the stories they were saying, you know, this leaving it in the car, this was actually a spam issue. and they said the Johns Hopkins University said that they were leaching these chemicals, some of which aren't even in the plastic bottles. And the university came out and issued a statement saying, we never said it, there is no such study, and, you know, really, you shouldn't worry about these chemicals because, for instance, dioxins, they said, were leaking in there. Well, they don't, it's really not coming out of plastic bottles, dioxins. So a lot of that's a hype. But the environmentalists have taken it to the next level. I mean, they're going to state legislators, they're going, the city of Chicago has actually issued a tax, they're using it as an excuse to get more money. They have government agencies are banning bottled water at the at workplaces, including at fires for firemen in Utah and Salt Lake City. They're going to an extreme. NRDC, they make all kinds of claims, and then if you look a little closer, for instance, the chemical they're talking about is found in a little teeny part of the bottle cap. It has minimal contact with the water. FDA has not found much of it in the water to even consider it a, you know, a health concern. And even at much higher levels, it's not a health concern. But the environmentalists, you know, they want to scare you out of drinking it, so that they have some other agenda they're trying to serve.
Well, and I, in a minute, I want to get to the website that was set up to combat these efforts to ban, tax, regulate bottled water. It's called enjoybottledwater.org. But before we do that, can we take a call?
Absolutely.
Okay, go ahead, Bill. It's your turn. Good afternoon, Bill.
Hey, thank you very much. Yeah, since you're talking about water and really about bottled water, but what do you think about the fluoride in our water? You think that the environmentalists would be talking about that more than the bottled water, because I'm anti-fluoride, and if you look on the back of a toothpaste package, it'll tell you kids under two don't swallow because it has fluoride in it. Are you aware of that?
Mm-hmm. So well, you know, the thing about bottled water is it gives you an option. Fluoride is in our tap water. A lot of bottled water does not have fluoride. So you can just look at the label, and most of it does not. Most of it is not fluoridated. Some of it is, because the fact is there are also benefits to fluoride. So if you don't want it, bottled water is a really good option for you. And our point is it should be a free choice and in a free society, and you shouldn't be taxed and regulated because you choose bottled water. So that is a good... You know, a good aspect to bring up is that choice is there, and it should be an important choice.
Yeah, but you see, I don't have a choice unless I go out and spend money to buy bottled water, because the city and the county is putting in the fluoride, and so it goes against my grain, so I'm forced to either get a filter that takes out the fluoride or buy bottled water that's reverse osmosis.
Right, and so at least you have that option to get the bottled water. Unfortunately, some people want to take that option off the table for you, which isn't right.
Okay. But you know about fluoride, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's a byproduct of mining.
You know, everything, some people are concerned about the safety of it, but there are some benefits for it. But that's really not where we want to
take
right now. I'll be listening to you.
Thanks so much.
Important.
Thank you, Bill. We appreciate the call. All right, tell me a little bit about the website and the efforts that you guys have undertaken. It's called enjoybottledwater.org. I mean, an entire entity, or at least a website, has been set up. So this is real.
Yeah, this is a huge issue. I mean, you can't turn on the TV without hearing about it, and you're only hearing one side. So what we did is we set up a site. It's for people who enjoy the freedom to drink bottled water, or just enjoy the freedom, period, and want to sign our petition. It's enjoybottledwater.org. And there's a petition there. We just officially launched the site today. So we're collecting names of people who want to express their support for free, you know, consumer choice. And also to learn more about the issue, I cover all the main points throughout the website. So if you want to have a cocktail party debate, you can have one with a little more information.
Now, we already pay, for example, on a lot of the you know, in a lot of places. Now, we don't hear where we are. In Florida, and I think it's unfortunate, but in a lot of places, I know where I grew up, you had to pay a certain amount for a deposit on a soda bottle, and then when you took it back, you got your money back. And they have not done anything like that with water bottles. Can you maybe help us understand why they haven't, and do you think that's a route that they are looking at, and should they look at that, or is that just another form of taxation?
Well, I consider it another form of taxation, because a lot of people pay these things and they still end up in the solid waste stream. I have a bottle of water right here in my hand. It has a 5-cent Hawaii tax and a 5-cent Maine tax. So some states do it, but usually that's a great way to enrich government coffers when they create a government program for it. The other thing is, the beauty of a bottle of water is that it's 40 times more efficient to produce. In its entire life cycle, it uses that much less energy than aluminum or other things. It is made to be disposable, and I personally don't think that that's a problem. The bottled water industry, they may have a different point of view. I think they're trying to promote recycling, but, you know, that can be done on a voluntary basis. It does not have to be done with this type of tax, and that's pretty, you know, that's a pretty hefty tax, you know, per bottle. In Chicago, I think it's about the range of the tax per bottle, for every bottle. So if you buy a case of it, you're ending up paying a 30% tax on your bottled water, which I just don't think is fair.
Now, at enjoybottledwater.org, you said that there's a petition that people can get on and sign. What are you guys going to do with this petition?
Basically, it's there for the world to see. We're going to promote it. We're going to let people know. Policymakers, it'll be an opportunity. The whole site is a one-stop shop for anybody who wants to learn about bottled water issue. And if you're a policymaker and you want to have some rational evidence that people do, in fact, value freedom, you can use that petition. And it's basically for consumers to voice that they're right. And not that they're, and that they're proud, you know, to have that freedom and exercise it, and that it should not be infringed with some silly and arbitrary tax or regulation.
All right, speaking of rational, let's take a call right now from Crazy Ed. Thanks so much for calling in.
Oh, good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Good afternoon to
you.
I drink
bottled water, but I put it in a bottle that comes from my well. The thing is, from what I've been listening, you're saying that it's not the water that's bad. It's after it's put in a plastic bottle, and if the sun hits it or it's too warm in the car, it may pick up something from the plastic. Why not put it in glass bottles?
Well, that's what they're saying. I'm not saying that. I'm trying to find out, is there any truth to that? And I think, you know, as we're hearing from Dr. Lagomassini, is there is not. That it, the leaching that people talk about, this John Hopkins study, you know, it's all junk science.
Right, but remember, you're dealing with the government. And whether you're right or whether they're right or wrong, they're going to put it into effect. So if you switch over to glass, that takes them out of the picture completely because they can't, well, it's no longer in plastic, so how does it affect anybody?
But every product has a trade-off, and glass has its own trade-off. It's more energy intensive to make, produce, and transport. In addition, so if you're concerned about environmental values, that may not be a good move. And also, glass breaks. And when you talk about the amount of you know, product that's lost from breakage, people that are cut. You know, I don't want to hand my 5-year-old a glass bottle. You know, you want to make sure that it's safe. And believe it or not, people switching to glass, or I would argue, are taking an additional risk with children.
Well, but kids don't get hurt by glass bottles. I mean, when I was a kid, there was no plastic.
Well, but I think a lot of folks who are using...
And the Coke bottles and all were much thicker and required more energy. And so, when you make transitions in society, and our point is it should be a free choice. If you want to buy in glass bottles, that's fine. If somebody wants to buy in plastic bottles, that's fine, too.
All right. Take care.
Great. And I think the, you know, a point to make here is that a lot of folks who use bottled water, and I know I drink 90% of my water right from the tap, but when I do have bottled water, it's typically because I'm on the go, in my car, carrying it in a bag, like you mentioned. I don't want to have the risk of dropping it. Or, you know, I'm participating in some sporting event, and certainly it's much easier to have it, you know, as you mentioned, in plastic then at that
right.
point.
That's exactly what I do. And some, one of the things that's often forgotten in this debate is that the Centers for Disease Control and EPA recommend bottled water for people with, you know, compromised immune systems, people who have special needs. Certainly there's a huge effort to keep elderly hydrated if they're outside at a public event, and the government is taking out bottled water at public events. Everybody needs to stay hydrated, but there are people with special needs that are going to be forced to drink something else that maybe is not good for them, that has sugar or caffeine or something that doesn't work for them. And why should we be doing this? It's insane.
And so essentially it's not necessarily the same as tap water.
It's definitely not. And I went to great lengths to make that case on the website. And one of the things that I did is I looked at the health record of both of them. And I think tap water is perfectly fine. I drink tap water. I've always defended against environmentalist hype about the risks of tap water. But there are occasions when there are risks because the water travels through pipes where it can become contaminated. You're also serving a very large amount of people, and it's not easy for, you know, to make, keep it as clean as it needs to be. We've had a case in Milwaukee where 400,000 people got sick in 1993. We don't have cases like that with bottled water. I couldn't really find large-scale waterborne disease illness problems. EPA maintains the estimates that there's up to possibly, you know, 1.5 million people that get sick from their water every year. They don't know it, that they have a little, you know, gastrointestinal distress, and they don't know why. They don't make that estimate for bottled water. Bottled water sanitary, it's sanitary transport is a really important benefit, and that's being ignored in this whole debate.
All right, we need to take a real quick break. We've got callers on hold. Can you stay with us through the break?
Yes.
Okay, we'll be right back after this break. We are talking with Dr. Lagomasini, and we are talking about this politically motivated attack against bottled water. It just keeps becoming a crazier and crazier world. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back after this short break.
Now, back to your turn on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. The phone lines are open, so call in and join the conversation at 623-1330.
Thank you for staying tuned. If you've just tuned in, my name's Renee Giacchino. I'm Corporate Counsel for the Center for Individual Freedom, and we are talking about one of the wackiest things I think I've read about. Well, I can't say that because there's so much wackiness going on right now, but certainly as a mother, it's the buzz among a lot of other mothers about bottled water and is it safe for our children? And, you know, now there are talks about banning it or taxing it, and we really need to get to the bottom of this, you know, as an issue, both an economic issue as well as a health issue, whether or not there's any truth to all that junk science. And helping us do that is Dr. Angela Lagomasini, who is the Director of Risk and Environmental Policy for the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Joining us as well is Larry. Go ahead, Larry. It's your turn.
Yeah, I was wondering if all the hype might have something to do with the length of time that bottled water is exposed to the plastic. And if she can speak on what is a safe shelf life or, you know, not for bottled water, I'd appreciate that.
Excellent
and
question.
I'll hang up and let you go.
Excellent. Thank you. All questions right. I have myself. I appreciate it.
Okay. Well, the chemicals that they're talking about, again, I've looked at a bunch of them. They're all at very low levels. If they even exist in the bottle of water, a lot of the ones that they're talking about, they're not even detected in bottled water most of them. That's an overwhelming majority of the time because even with a long-term contact to the plastic, a lot of them aren't even in the plastic bottles that we're buying. You know, the one is biphenyl A, which you hear about. It's a baby bottle issue, and a series of studies have come out and showing that at current levels, FDA and others, it's perfectly fine. So I don't think we really need to worry about that. The nice thing about bottled water is it has a very low shelf life because, again, it is packaged in a sanitary package. And like, I'm looking at this one bottle, it says NSF. They're inspected by the National Sanitation Foundation, and it lasts a very long time. I really don't know that there's a spoilage date. Let's see. But I would look for it on the bottle. But again, I don't think that's something that really is a large concern.
All right, what about, we had another caller who couldn't stay online, but he wanted to know whether or not, you know, the fact that plastic is made up of petroleum products, would that cause any leaching problems or make the, you know, contents of the plastic bottle, whether it's water or a soda, less safe?
It may be one of the reasons environmentalists have targeted it, but I don't think that products that they're using right now to make the water and petroleum has not sort of been in the issue in the regard to contaminants. The issues have been phthalates, which, again, are only in that little teeny plastic cap, if they're there at all, in a plastic bottle, or BPA, which is in baby bottles. The PETE bottles don't have a lot of those chemicals that they've been talking about. There have been discussions of dioxins. They're not really there. The contaminant level is such, issue is really not something that people should worry about. Of course, you know, bottling companies have to constantly check for other contaminants as well. And the FDA regulates any byproducts that get into the water to make sure they're always below levels of concern. So unless there's a recall or something of that nature, I really wouldn't worry about those issues.
All right. We've only got about a minute and a half left, but I did want to talk about something that you wrote about several months ago. But again, I think it's something that, you know, we need to know. Truth or junk science? What's the whole truth about plastic bags?
The whole truth about plastic bags is very similar to bottles of water. Again, environmental activists are complaining that they're not recycled. The reality is we have plenty of space in landfills. People worry about that, and I think, you know, that's probably one of the, you know, the more basic and more rational worries, but we do have the space. We're not running out of landfill space, and the amount they take is very small. Again, if you look at energy usage, plastic bags are extremely energy efficient. They're much more energy efficient than paper bags, and they don't have a lot, they take less space to store, they're lighter weight, so you're transporting them at a lower cost. You know, everything has a trade-off, and you know, it's up to the consumer. It's up to the consumer to say yes or no, paper or plastic, or to bring their own carry, their own bag to carry to the supermarket. The nanny state, though, is trying to say that we have to live a certain way, and whether we like it or not, whether it makes sense, whether it's rational, and that's where we have problems with it.
Yeah, I know it would have to change my dog walking routine if I didn't have those plastic shopping bags. And another interesting point that I read not too long ago is really the alternative to a plastic bag is only good if you don't throw it away, because it takes, I don't know how many times longer for that to decompose than it does these plastic bags, which hopefully a lot of people are recycling. Well, Dr. Lagomasini, thank you so much for your time. Again, what's the website people can go to learn more about this issue?
It's enjoybottledwater.org, and then follow the link to sign the petition.
Follow the link
there, and you can learn more information on the site.
Okay, and if you forget that, just head to the website for Competitive Enterprise Institute. It's CEI.org. Thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it.